Hey, if you've got your Bible, just open with me to Psalm 67, and we'll be there in just a moment. But wanted to take a moment and talk to you about, in this, our last coffee conversation, kind of remind you of where we've been and where we're going to be today. We started out by talking to you about the single most important thing in our heart to you. And remember, kind of the framework for everything we're talking about here is, if we could sit down over coffee with you and talk to you, whether it's at Tim Hortons or Starbucks or your home or whatever, these are some things that we want to say to you that are for you. Our heart for you. Not what we want from you, but some things that maybe we'd say to you that we say, we want this for you. And given that, we started by saying the most important feature, Pastor Al and I both, the most important thing we would want for you as people here at the chapel is that you know God. And if I sound like a broken record for the rest of my life, the broken record is probably going to be set on, or a skipping CD, whichever one you'd prefer, your metaphor, choose it, is going to be, I want you to know God. More than anything that you do, more than anything about anything, I want you to know God, to hunger and thirst for Him. We talked about that being the most important thing, and we talked about flowing from that in week number two, is that we can develop healthy relationships with one another, in the context of our family, wherever that may be, as long as we keep Jesus Christ as the centerpiece, then we can develop healthy relationships. Even when people aren't treating us as we think we deserve to be treated, we can still handle that in a manner consistent with godliness and Christ-likeness because of what God's done in our heart and because Jesus is the centerpiece. And then last week we talked about the inner working between heart and treasure and how those two things are mingled together. And we really, last week was a message, even though it was on, you know, we talked about money as a subject, really the primary subject was the heart. You know, this is an issue of the internal spiritual nature, the heart of who we are, and that interweaving between heart and treasure. And we talked about how the most valued thing that we can treasure is heaven's treasure, which the song we just sang called "The Darling of Heaven," Jesus Christ. And today what we want to talk to you is about life that is consistent with mission. Now, here's what I mean by that. We all have maybe a personal mission that we have, but there's also a mission that God has designed in terms of what's on God's heart in the big scope of things globally, even in the universe. God has a distinct mission, and then we kind of fit into that. And I know we captured some of that when we did the purpose-driven life back here in September, October, November, and we talked a little bit about living life on mission. But I kind of want to come at that from a little bit of a different angle today and talk some through that. So I want you to take a look at Psalm 67. And in verse number one, the Bible says, God, be merciful to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us, Selah. Now, pause right there for just a second. The reason we're pausing is because the Bible tells us to. Right there. In fact, the word Selah, if you want maybe just kind of an easy layman's definition of what Selah means, it means this. Hang on right there and think about it. All right? So when you come to Selah in the Bible, it's kind of God saying, hey, hang on one second right there and ponder what you've just read. In other words, God, be merciful to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. So I took a Selah moment when I was approaching this text, and here's what I did. I began to think about and thank God for how God has blessed this community of faith called the chapel. God has been so faithful to us here. It's amazing. And Pastor Al and I are very clear. We've said it to you. We'll say it again, and I'll be saying it. We understand very clearly who the head of the church is. The Bible says that the head of the church is Jesus Christ. The head of the church is Jesus Christ. It is not a human being. It never has been. It never will be. Except for Jesus being human but being fully God at the same time. Jesus is the head of His church. Now certainly, as under-shepherds and leading, do we have a responsibility biblically? Yeah, we do. Do we have some things that God has called us to? Yes, He has. Do you have some things that you're responsible to in terms of our relationship? Yes, you do. And we've talked about those things. I addressed that in a message a couple of years back. But the key is we understand who the leader of the church is, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to be living in submission to Him as He leads His church. Because sometimes we say, you know, people think, well, yeah, He's the leader of the church. But really, we kind of take up the role as official leader, an official decider, an official mind of everything church from the human standpoint. But the truth is, we just need to know the mind of Christ. We need to know where the wind of the Spirit is blowing. We need to get a sense of God's direction, because it is He who leads His church, and He is living and He is actively in the process of leading that. And I began to think about how He has blessed in His leadership in this ministry, that Jesus has actually blessed us as a church. You know, it's amazing what He's done, not only in adding to the church, but just the transformed lives that are a part of this ministry. In fact, if you're here and you came to know Christ through some form or fashion through the ministry of the chapel, it could have been through student ministry or Vintage or women's ministry or in a service or whatever, but you came to know Christ, you gave your life to Christ through the ministry of the chapel, just put your hand up in the air if that's you. Wow. Look around. Man, that's cool. Thanks. And God has not only continued to reach people in this context, but all through the tentacles of the ministries that reach out in terms of the chapel, we're seeing people come to know Christ. I mean, a number of the folks that got baptized came to Christ through the ministry of Vintage that you saw this morning, because they're college-age students and were reached as a result of that. And last week, we baptized 13 or 14 students, many of which came to Christ through the student ministry. God's hand has been on this place. And God continues to add to His church. I look around right now in this room, and I mean, it's not jammed. There's still some seats, but it's pretty full in here. And this is the second service that we're doing. And the first one had a great attendance as well. I just thank God for what God's up to drawing people. I don't know where in the world some of you people came from. And I thank God. Not that I think that I have to know or whatever. I just thank God that God is up to something in the lives of people. Amen. And He's drawing them. Do you realize in the last 3.5 years that the church has grown by over 100%? The church has more than doubled in its size. Yeah. In fact, if you've been at the chapel less than 5 years, raise your hand. Wow. That's proof in the pudding. Last service, you know, it was kind of like just about every hand went, everybody kind of looked around and went, dude, we're all new. This is right on. We're all new. It's amazing what God is up to. And God has had His hand on this ministry from the outset, when it started, you know, in a school and a vision of one man, Dr. Andrews, who pastored this church for 39 years. And then God showed His hand and His faithfulness in the process. And again, this is just a Selah moment, because I'm pausing to reflect on the mercy and the blessing of God for just a moment with you. God brought Pastor Al into this mix because of a mutual friend that Dr. Andrews and he had. And so he's here preaching in that interim time. And then the church loses its pastor to cancer. He graduates to a much better place. And the church loses its pastor to cancer, and Pastor Al is still here, and the church is saying, we want you to be our pastor. But Pastor Al keeps ringing out this little statement about, my mission is transition, blah, blah, you know, all that stuff. And, that's the Greek version. And they keep saying, no, we want you to be our pastor, and you fall in love with him. And how can you help it? I mean, you get over the fact that he's from Oklahoma, and then you just love him. That's right. I'm from Georgia. He's from Oklahoma. It's like you get over that and find forgiveness in your heart, and then everything's gold, you know. Those of us from the South, they don't even tell us till we're like seniors in high school that the war's over, you know. I mean, it was one of those things. And then Pastor Al said last service.
Yeah, he didn't move to the North till he found out the South lost the war. And by the way, Miss America finalists, Georgia and Oklahoma.
That's right. Thank you very much.
And Oklahoma won.
That'll tell you a little bit about our family trees. You know? That's all I'll say right there. Anyway, we grew to love him. You grew to love him. I wasn't even here. I wasn't even in the picture. God finally moved on his heart to accept being the pastor. He kept saying, no, I want to be the interim. My mission is to transition, but accepted the pastorate here at this ministry. But then continued to say in the process, my mission is transition. Now, he's let the cat out of the bag many times over, not only in the past few weeks, but in the past year, year and a half, in saying that there is going to be a time in the future where he will officially step aside as senior co-pastor of the chapel. And while still being engaged in this ministry and connected here and involved here and being a great support, he will officially step out of that role and those duties. And the natural question that has come to both he and I is, when is that going to occur? You know, when is that going to happen? Is that a big secret? Well, not necessarily a secret. We've just really been kind of seeking the heart of God as to when you share that and when you talk about that. But that will happen this year. And I'll tell you when that'll happen. It'll happen in September, the very first Sunday of September. In fact, September 3rd is a very special day, and it's one that Pastor Al is really kind of initiated and shared with me on. And we talked about this for a year, I think, is what we talked about it. September 3rd for Pastor Al will mark the end of his tenure as senior co-pastor at the chapel. But it will also be a celebration that exact day of 40 years in ministry on September 3rd. I'm only 36. He's been in ministry for longer than I've been alive. And the truth is we're going to have time. You'll be hearing in weeks and months to come. We're going to make that a real special celebration, and a day we'll get to honor him, and the church will be able to participate. So you don't have to start sending pies like right now or whatever. You know, we'll be able to do some stuff along that line and be able to really honor him and thank God for that, because it really is. It's a celebration of God's faithfulness. It's a celebration of God's blessing. And it's a Selah moment where we can look back and say, God has been merciful to us. God has blessed us, and he's caused his face to shine upon us. And I'll have opportunity at that time to maybe share some things more personally, but let it be pretty clear that I'm sitting next to a man who's been in ministry longer than I've been alive. And while he has been gracious in the last few weeks to talk about maybe my ministry or things that I've had opportunity to do that have encouraged him or impacted his life, make no mistake that if there was one guy in this relationship who was walking around with pencil and paper, it was me. And that I had opportunity and have had opportunity to learn a great deal from the man that I'm sitting next to in the way that he carries himself and the humility that he shows in life and in ministry, in his passion for the heart of God, and in the way that he cares about the church. Most importantly, above his own agenda, he cares about the good of this ministry. And so I have experienced the opportunity to have a friend, a mentor, a pastor, a confidant, a colleague, a guy who likes football, you know. I mean, we share so much in common. We both like strawberries a lot. We share a lot in common. I could tell you more. I'll just say that. There's some things better left between he and I. We have just a beautiful relationship, and God has blessed this and honored this in this time frame. And we're both grateful, and we'll both celebrate that.
Amen. What an incredible statement. God be merciful to us and bless us. Why do you think it's right to ask such a thing? Why do you think it's right to say, God, bless me? You wake up tomorrow morning and say, Lord, today, just bless me. It sounds a little selfish, doesn't it? But you know, you find that statement all the way through the Bible. And remember the prayer of Jabez? In fact, I talked about that in one of the early services of my senior pastor tenure here, the prayer of Jabez from 1 Chronicles 4:10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed. There it is. He's asking, God, bless me indeed. Well, he didn't stop there. He went on to say, enlarge my territory. Bless me in this, indeed, and bless it in the area of my territory. Well, some have associated this with evangelism, and I think you can make the point application-wise. If you want to really, as you've been teaching on Monday night, Pastor Jerry's been teaching in our institute hermeneutics, biblical interpretation, and so if you really wanted to apply Herman here, it probably doesn't mean evangelism, but the application, it fits. It's all right to use it. The idea that God enlarge our territory, impact a greater and greater arena as far as our ministry is concerned. But you know what he's asking for, really? He's asking for territory. Mm-hmm. I mean, when it says territory, he's asking for territory. He's talking about lands now. In those days, you see, There were two things that marked you as one blessed of heaven. One is increase of lands, and the other is just increase of goods or livestock primarily. Increase of livestock. And then you knew when you saw someone that had an abundance of land and had much cattle or herds, then you knew that they were being especially blessed of God. It brought with it a lot of respect, by the way. Abraham, for instance, was a very wealthy man. He was rich beyond words, and he had countless herds and flocks. And as a result of that, he was highly respected because there was a sense in which even people who were not Israelites knew that somehow the God of Israel was greatly blessing this man Abraham. And so he really walked or had relationship to kings and influence among kings and leaders. What's behind this? Why would God bless Jabez? Why would God answer a prayer like that? Why would God bless Abraham with such riches? Well, in both cases, and by the way, you can go all the way through the Scripture, and you're going to find out a little later that even there in Psalms, the whole point is that we might make Christ known. Abraham's purpose was to declare the God of Israel. And so God gave him, among his peers, gave him great respect, great honor, great riches. Jabez was greatly blessed for the intent of having impact in making the God of Israel known. Well, the chapel has been wonderfully blessed, as Pastor Jerry says. I mean, wonderfully blessed. You'd have to be blind not to recognize the hand of God on this thing. And we both know that it really is the hand of God, that we both stepped into an arena where God was, kind of like this, God was saying, now, I'm getting ready to do a real special work at the chapel in Western New York. Pastor Jerry, would you like to come and join me in that? And Pastor Al, would you like to come and join? Yeah, that's it. He just invited us to come along for the trip that he was about to take the chapel on. So it's been wonderfully blessed. When I became your pastor 6 years ago, there were several things that God had especially laid upon my heart. And there's still one area that I feel like that I have not quite completed. Now, as far as the timing is concerned, understand this. I know that you know, we could go on in this relationship. There's not been any idea from Pastor Jerry that, you know, I'm kind of tired of you hanging around here. Would you go ahead and just retire? There's not any of that. Never. Anytime I've brought up the subject, it's like, whatever you think. And from the time that I first came, even before Pastor Jerry's time, I prayed this prayer. God, don't let me leave too soon, and don't let me stay too long. Because I knew that this particular tenure of responsibility was different than anything I'd ever taken. Before, even though I'd been a student pastor while in school and pastored chapels and stuff, I really pastored two churches before coming here. And in both cases, I assumed I was there for a lifetime. I had planted a church in Kansas City, and I just kind of assumed that was it. But God changed that. And then when God called me to Tampa, I just assumed that was a lifetime commitment. I want you to know there's something. From the time I arrived here, I knew this was not a lifetime commitment unless somehow I died quick. And, you know, and that was totally up to God. But here's what I'm saying. It really wasn't, there wasn't the sense in which I'm gonna plant my roots here and I'm gonna pasture and I'm gonna remain here till I get so old I can't do it anymore. And that was never in my mind, because that was not what God wanted me to do. And all I wanted to know from God is, God, now I want to stay long enough to accomplish what I believe you've led me here to accomplish. And I also don't want to leave too early for that. But I don't want to also overstay my time in which your blessings are upon me. So it was very delicate in my mind. And so about a year and a half ago, I don't know how long it was, it's been at least a year. Pastor Jerry and I sat down and I said, you know, I think I've got the target in my mind. And I hadn't really thought about it before. About it, the 3rd of September is actually, I was ordained on the 4th of September in 1966. So the 3rd is exactly 40 years. And I thought, you know, that's the right time. And as I prayed about it, and then I shared it with Pastor Jerry, and I mentioned it to him, and he thought, you know, well, that's time enough to really make some plans out there in the future. And most everything I really wanted to see accomplished has been accomplished here at the chapel. And by the way, I want you to know many things way beyond what I dreamed. I never dreamed this place. I never had this place in mind when I came here. This is something God did, irrespective of me being around, and Pastor Jerry as well. But just wasn't a part of the dream. Maybe if God would have said, I'm going to have you move to Buffalo, New York, and I'm going to have you build this 2,400-seat auditorium, and I'm going to have you go, you know, I'm going to have you spend all this money to build this thing, and I would have said, I think I'll stay here in Atlanta for the time being. But I didn't know that. And yet there was an area that has always been a great burden to me and a desire that I have. And that's to see the chapel have an expanded ministry to missions as never before. Now, the chapel's already always been engaged to some degree in missions. But to really have a worldwide view of missions is what I desired for the chapel, so that its membership really had a sensitivity that they would know every morning when they would get up, they would have some missionary maybe on their mind or heart that they could be praying for somewhere in this world, knowing that we're supporting that person in the engagement primarily of planting churches. And so missions was a big deal to me. And I want you to know that his passion for missions is at least equal, if not greater, than mine. And so We've chosen this time, but in the meantime, he has asked me if I would consider being sort of a liaison to the future ministries of missions as it pertains to the chapel. So I'll be retaining an office here for, we don't know exactly how long, but for some time. And even now, as you know, I'm engaged pretty deeply with Biloxi in helping them get reestablished there, and not only helping the church be rebuilt, but or repaired, maybe I should say, but also to kind of refocus, re-strategize their future. And so I'm actually flying down to Biloxi Tuesday night to have a meeting with Pastor and their deacons, and we're going to talk about how we can put together a strategy that will really impact Biloxi so they can become the impact church of that particular community. And so This, by the way, this will be a non-paid position. This will be on just kind of volunteer basis. And we've just launched a unique ministry, establishing what I know was on Pastor Jerry's heart. In fact, that's part of what drove me to kind of probe this area. I knew Pastor Jerry really wanted to have some teams of people planting churches, not building churches, just building a building, but really planting churches. And I knew he had a special heart for those in the 1040 window. And so we put together a plan that he's going to tell you something about, not only that, but also other missionary features of this ministry.
We've got our hands connected to people's hands in various parts of the globe. And we want to give you a sense of that. And in weeks to come, hopefully you're going to have maybe something that will be in front of you that will be like an opportunity to pray for. We can get names of some of these people that are planting these churches, and we can pray for these folks so that when you wake up and you've got somebody on your mind from the country of Jordan, you can be praying for them and for the work that God's allowing us to engage in. But here's some places that we either have a missionary We are partnering with someone. One of our people is in this place. We are sending teams to, or have sent teams to, in terms of our engagement. So let me just give you a quick picture. First place that we'll go on the globe is Jordan. That's a pretty cool graphic, isn't it? That's Jordan. It's just so I can spin the globe, you know. Jordan is where Hagab Shakarian is, who was with Global Outreach Mission, whom the president, Dr. Brian Albrecht, is here. I mean, I don't know if he's in the service, but he's a member of our church and a faithful, faithful man. And Hagab was with us here back when we did Purpose Driven Life and we kind of did that mission deal. He's ministering to Muslims in the country of Jordan. So that's one place that we are in support of Hagab there. Next place we're going to on the map is Argentina. Argentina, we have a missionary that we support there, Andres Jordan. Andres has been on most of our Spanish-speaking trips with us. He's the son of Joe Jordan, who is the executive director of Word of Life. If you've ever heard of Word of Life Ministry, this is the director's son. And a great guy, just got married, tremendous fella. And now we're going to be sending a team in this, is it summer, Darlene? Is that right? Summer? Spring? Spring, we're going into Argentina with a team of students and student leaders, so we'll be in Argentina. Third place that you're going to see here on the map, we just go north of Argentina into Bolivia. This past year, we took a team of students to Bolivia. Juan and Naomi Leila, who are missionaries that we've connected with through Pastor David Miller, who knew them and was instrumental in some other missionaries that are now in Bolivia, and we've connected with them. Then there's another place, Costa Rica. We have entered into a relationship with Jeff Hackett, SCORE International. We had some students go there a couple of years ago, and so we've got continued ministry touches that will be available in Costa Rica. Dominican Republic. Probably the most traveled to place that we have ministered in as a people is the Dominican Republic. There have been, I don't know how many trips, maybe 10 that have been taken with people from the chapel. I've been 4, you know, to myself, to Dominican Republic. And we just took in November a team of medical missionaries that were there ministering, and just a tremendous opportunity there and some ongoing opportunities there. Next place, the next 5 places you'll see are part of this partnership with ABWE that Pastor Al kind of helped initiate. England is the first place. There's a gentleman there, church planting, who is actually ministering in churches that were of great tradition in England, kind of a legacy that were there. And he's kind of resuscitating those places of worship and now trying to breathe new life into some of these places. Great opportunity for ministry. Mexico is the next place on the globe. Another partnership with ABWE, church planter in Mexico City, which Mexico City, by the way, is, if it's not the largest city in the world, it's one of the top 2 or 3 largest cities in the world. I haven't seen recent population estimates, but it's one of the top 2 or 3 largest cities in the world. And we've got a guy that we're partnering with there. Next place, Vietnam. Now, let me tell you real quickly, this church planter in Vietnam was in the Vietnam War and dismissed God, said, I don't want to have anything to do with God, whatever. Then comes to a place where he surrenders himself to Jesus Christ. And now God has planted him back in Vietnam to plant churches. How cool is that? I mean, that's just a cool faith story right there. He's back in Vietnam, the place where he was fighting, and he's back there now for the ministry of the gospel, planting churches. That rocks right there. That's just cool. Let me give you another place. Ukraine, Eastern Europe. I've been to Ukraine. Edie's been with me. Ukraine is where we're partnering with another church planter there. There's a lot of good stuff going on in Central and Eastern Europe. Amen. Next place, India. This is a very cool opportunity because you remember the tsunami that came through. Pastor, you can kind of fill in the blanks on India.
Yeah, the Indian opportunity is just incredible because if you remember back about a year ago, there was a tsunami wiped out homes, millions of homes and thousands of lives. And prior to that time, the national missionary that we were affiliated with, not supporting at that particular time as we are now, but the national missionary was having a terrible time making inroads because the government basically they wouldn't allow him to have any place to function or to meet. And they totally rejected him. But not only that, but the community around him, they were rejecting him because of the difference in religion. And he was trying to promote Christianity and trying to lead people to Christ. And he had been beaten up numerous times. I mean, over and over and over again. And nearly beaten to death on a couple of occasions. But he just stayed steady at it. And then it so happened that the tsunami came and just wiped out everything. Well, if you recall, we took up a special offering to provide through ABWE and other churches around the nation. And that became our target area. to send support and foodstuffs, and multiple shipments were made into that area with food and provision. And guess what? This guy that had been rejected, this guy that had been beaten up numbers of times, he's the only guy in that whole area that has provision. And he's the connecting point to all the provisions that's coming in. It's all coming from churches here in America. Not the federal government thing, but from churches. And so he becomes the key to the distribution point. Well, I mean, he becomes a hero. It's really kind of amazing. Following all of that, and as they kind of begin to rebuild everything, the government comes to him and it says, you know what, we have a couple of government buildings. You can use them however you want to. You can start a church in them, whatever you want to do. People quit beating him up. And I mean, he's having a heyday over there. And so we're right in the middle of a church planting effort that the door has been swung wide open by God by allowing this disaster to take place. Pretty exciting stuff. That's taking place there.
And you were involved in that process.
Yeah.
So thank God for your involvement. Another place, Papua New Guinea, which is where our own Rhonda Milhon, I saw Rhonda between services walking by. I don't know if she's in this service or she was in the last one. But Rhonda serves with New Tribe Mission there in Papua New Guinea. She's on furlough right now. Be heading back not terribly long. Next place on the map, South Africa. That's a place that I've been privileged to go. And you helped in that process as well. We trained 400 pastors from South Africa, from Zimbabwe, some from Botswana. 400 pastors gathered in this conference. We helped train, and we also helped provide bicycles for them so that they could ride into villages and preach the gospel in places that they couldn't walk to or run to. That's cool, too. Another place, New Zealand. This is where one of our own young ladies, Jackie Fetter, is and with Campus Crusade for Christ. Served there last year. She's going to be serving there this year. And we thank God for her involvement there. A lot of university ministry that goes on in New Zealand. And then in France, we have the Aldens, who we have been engaged with for a long time now. Bill and Ann, sweet people that I met before. And so they've got a radio ministry over there that's reaching out to tons and tons of people. So there's probably other places that I haven't thought about that we're touching, but that gives you a little bit of a snapshot of what's going on. Now, let me tell you about the why behind this. When we say, God, we want you to bless us indeed and enlarge our territory. Give us more land. Let us touch more places. Why is that? Well, verse 2 in Psalm 67, if you're still there, answers verse 1. Verse 1 says, God, be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Why? That your way may be known on earth and your salvation among all nations. Do you see the connection there? We're asking for God's blessing, so that we can serve his purposes by making his way known in all the nations and his salvation to all people. Now, this first part, verse 1, is actually a piece of a benediction that came out of the Old Testament book of Numbers chapter 6. Now, before you get too confused, basically here's what happened. God gave to Moses some instructions to give to Aaron. And Aaron, acting as kind of high priest in this context, shared this blessing on Israel. Some of you may come from church backgrounds where at the very end they stand and say, God be merciful to you and bless you and cause his face to shine upon you. Well, that's an Old Testament benediction of blessing that was from Aaron. Now, why did God do that? Why did God want Aaron blessing Israel in that manner? Well, here's one reason. He wanted to bless Israel because they were his people. But he also wanted to bless Israel for the purpose of them being the crown jewel, God's precious people, that serve as an opportunity for the nations to see that the Lord is God. And so he was blessing them for the purpose of being a blessing. In fact, that wasn't a new concept with Aaron and Moses. It predated them to Abraham. Pastor Al mentioned Abraham just a few moments ago, and let me read you something. God made a covenant with Abraham, and I want you to catch the language of this. It's in Genesis chapter 12. Just let me read it to you. He said, I will make you, Abraham, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. In other words, what he said to Abraham was this: this is the covenant I'm making with you. I'm going to bless you so that you'll be a blessing. Your descendants are going to be like the sands of the seashore, and certainly Israel came out of that. But understand that that counts for me and you, that you and I have a carryover principle in the New Testament, and it's this, that we have been blessed to be a blessing. And what greater blessing is there, ladies and gentlemen, than those of us who've been blessed here in the United States of America to be able to minister to people around the world so that the way of God may be known among the nations. That is a way for us to be able to bless people. What's cool about this is verse number 3 says, "Let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you." You know, where you make an emphasis in your reading sometimes tells you something about the text. For instance, if I read it this way, "Let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you." You hear something in that, that you should hear, by the way, that God wants all the nations to worship Him. Let me read it to you a different way. "Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you." Now, that says something even different, because what it says is, "Let the peoples praise you and no one else." You see, because when we're talking about the nations, do you realize in every piece of the globe, there are people that are worshiping something or someone, many of which they're not worshiping the God that we worship. They're not worshiping the one and only true God. Gods of their making, maybe, potentially. And the psalmist is saying here, the peoples need to praise you and you alone, the only wise God. And God creates that so that there will be an opportunity for us to worship. You see, the scripture's clear in Matthew 28 that we have a great commission. Do you remember that statement where Jesus said, "Go into all the world and make disciples of all the," what?
Nations.
Nations. That word nations in the Greek language is the word ethnos, and it's where we get our word ethnicity or ethnic. Basically, what it says is this: every people group, not just geographic group, not just the country of India, but every people group within the context of India, of which there are thousands, by the way. I want you to see that there's a witness of me in every people group around the world. And we in the United States, because we have been blessed, have a responsibility to be engaged in the very things we just showed you. We want to be a blessing and get the name of Christ, to make Christ known in all places of the earth. Then he says, "Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on the earth, Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase, and God, our own God, shall bless us, and God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him." So here at the very end, it even gives you the inclination that we're blessed to be a blessing, which, by the way, works not only personally. We talked about that last week about your treasure in your heart. When you're blessed, it's great for you to be a blessing. God honors that. More blessed to give than it is to receive, you know, that whole thing that Jesus told us about. That's a cool thing to do. It works as well when we're talking about a church. We want to be people that are blessing, not only here in the context of our city, but around the world. Because here's the deal. You need to think with the end in mind. Let me explain what I mean by that. You know, when you're strategy planning, you like to think with the end in mind. Those of you who are in business or those of you who are planning your home affairs, you think with the end in mind. What is the end result? What's the desired result? Where are we trying to go? Well, God, in His mission, has already thought about the end in mind. In fact, we even get a glimpse into it in the book of Revelation. Let me just kind of call your attention to it. Don't bother turning there. It's in Revelation 5. Listen to this. This is the vision that was given to John, and it's about these four living creatures and the 24 elders, and they sing this new song, and here's what they say about Jesus. "You're worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood." Listen to this. "Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, you have made us a kingdom and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Do you know what the end result is? Listen, God is going to have around His throne people from every tongue, every tribe, every nation, every people group are going to be represented worshiping God. Do you realize in this church alone that we have a ton of people groups represented right here in terms of various nationalities and backgrounds? I mean, first generation people that are here. God's brought the world in effect. He's brought the world to us in a sense. Yeah. But He has commissioned us to be able to go to the world and bring the message of His hope and the gospel of Jesus Christ, that there is one way of salvation, and it is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the one who died on our behalf, who rose from the dead, and who we can embrace to not only find eternal life in the by and by, but in the here and now. We have got that message that we have been entrusted by God to take to the uttermost parts of the earth. Why? Because ultimately, that's what the end result is. Worship around the throne of God from every tongue and tribe and nation. And do you know why God wants worship? Do you know why evangelism and missions exists? It exists because there are places where people do not worship God. That's the reason it exists. It doesn't come before worship. It comes because there is no worship in certain places in the world where they're not worshiping God. That's why we are called to the Great Commission of Evangelism and Missions, because God is basically pulling together a worshiping community that will spend time worshiping Him forever in a variety of different ways. And that is a mission worth living for and worth dying for.
Amen. That's exciting, exciting. And that's our desire. Pastor Jerry and I have such a passion for you to experience what it's like to really engage in other parts of the world while living in Western New York, where you can have a sense of actually praying for and directly supporting some missionary, such as in a place like Vietnam or in the India area. That's our desire. In order to try to make those connections and bring missions home to you, I'll probably be visiting all five of those church planting locations within the next 18, 24 months. And in fact, in just a couple of weeks, I'll be leaving on a trip with Michael Loftus with ABWE. And we're going to be visiting the church planting team in Vietnam and the church planting team in India. I'm really excited about being there. Really, all these places are pretty exciting spots to me. And even though we don't have a church planting team there, because of his schedule, we go through Cambodia as well. And so I'll be visiting different places where we are presently having church planting teams. And then, of course, be returning then after 10, 12 days or so. And then in the month of March, I'm going to be traveling with Brian Albrecht with Global Outreach Ministries to Jordan to visit Hagob and seeing what their engagement is in ministry. And so this is what I'm going to be involved in with the chapel over the next few years. I'm very excited about it. And I'm wanting to bring missions home to you. And over the next couple of years, it would be our dream, our desire, our prayer, that God would just raise up a mighty army of people here at the chapel with that sensitivity to worldwide missions. The thing that we knew or had a question mark in this, in making the announcement, and we chose this point in time to do this for this specific reason, because it had so much association with missions, is that people have asked me, as I have over the last few months, even though the rumor has begun to spread a little bit, and ever since the announcement was made a few weeks ago, when Linda Penn has come along beside Janie to ultimately take over women's ministry. She'll be actually stepping down at the end of April. We knew that people would begin to question, well, you know, it sounds like you're about to leave. So we thought, well, we'll eliminate the rumors and just communicate what's really taking place. And so that's the reason why we wanted to choose today to do that. And in the process, I wanted to make a statement about what has taken place, because some of you may or may not know. I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago about how Pastor Jerry has been handling all the staff activities from the very beginning. One of the things that we agreed upon, and I felt this was very important, that if he was going to come here as senior co-pastor in the future of this ministry, that he had to have a right to put together his own ministry team. That is, the people who worked here and served here and ministered here. And so that was established from the get-go. So from day one, when Pastor Jerry came, he was the guy that would make the ultimate decision about who he was going to add to the staff and when, et cetera. And Janie and I, we were involved in some of the interview process with Linda and others for that matter. But it's Pastor Jerry that made that final decision. And so he's been training the staff. I come in and I sit there and make a contribution so I don't feel totally like I'm a knot on a log. But so I just kind of sit there and listen and learn as well. And it's been an exciting thing to see how God is changing our focus and our direction. So many of the things that have changed and altered, by the way, that change has been going on for the last 6 years. And before Pastor Jerry came. And so the change, by the way, will continue to take place. But the question that people ask me, will everything change when you leave? Well, probably not like you think. since Pastor Jerry's been in charge of things for the last several years, then it'll probably kind of go on as normal, except you want to understand that change is normal. That is, if you're going to be a growing, thriving church. So change is one of those constant things. And so I've, little by little, I have given over the reins to Pastor Jerry. And maybe two and a half years ago, I asked him to start being the moderator of the deacon board meetings. And so he's been doing that. So for those of you who are thinking, well, you know, how's he going to do all this? Well, he's been doing it all. There's just one area that I have not yet yielded over to Pastor Jerry. There's one part of the territory he does not have the right to fire me. That's the one area that I haven't yielded up as yet. But he's the guy doing the vision casting. He's the guy that's talking to the staff about what we're going to be doing next. And often he will come into my office and say, in fact, we're going to be going through the book of Colossians. Pastor Jerry came in and said, we're going to go through the book of Colossians. I love the way he works this thing out. He said, I've chosen this message. I really like this part. I really like this part. And I really like this part. I really like this part. You can have the other part. That's kind of how it works. So I figure out how to do the other parts. It was pretty exciting stuff. Well, Janie and I, we've sold our house and we've downsized. We've bought another house, so you know, because we are going to. This is our home. Western New York is our home. Buffalo is our home. Well, I didn't say this. Was somebody waving an applause sign or something behind me?
I cued him.
Okay, good. Yeah, he's down there doing this. Well. Could I go on being co-senior pastor? Yeah, I could. But it's time. It's time for me to step down. I love pioneering. I love the fact of coming here and helping to make some changes and alter some things for the future of the chapel. I love that pioneering feeling. I think I can continue to fulfill that in my heart as far as missions is concerned. I like to fix things. That's the reason I'm down in Biloxi Tuesday night. I like to fix things and try to make things a little better. Motivate people in churches to see mission as what missions ought to be like. And what is it? Making Christ known. And by the way, speaking of some other things as it relates to missions, in order to broaden the scope and sense of missions, I'm going to be leading a journey to where Paul planted churches in Greece in particular. And I'm going to take a two-week tour. Pastor Jerry is about to leave to go on a 12 or 13-day tour of the Holy Land. But I'm going to lead a very similar tour. It's going to be a lecture tour, and we're going to visit places where the Apostle Paul started churches. We're going to visit Corinth. We're going to visit Thessalonica. We're going to visit Philippi. We're actually going to visit even the island where John, the island of Patmos, where John wrote the book of Revelation. There'll be a little about 3-day cruise mixed in that in the Mediterranean, and that'll all be going to these places, Crete and so on. And so this is going to take place next spring. And we'll be letting you know about how you can sign up for that and be a part of that. But that'll be an exciting thing as well, enlarging our sensitivity for missions. And I want you to hear what Paul said. Speaking of Paul, he was planting the church at Corinth. And God, Jesus, came along one night. It's often referred to as Paul's night vision. Hey, God doesn't do this anymore, I don't think, at least. And yet, for this particular period of time, he came to talk with Paul. Paul was faced with some difficulties there. Paul, as you know, has gone through some hardship and many times on the mission field. And here's what Jesus said to him in this night vision. He says, "Do not be afraid." He's talking to the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest missionaries on the face of the earth at that time. He said, "But speak and do not keep silent, for I am with you." And then Paul wrote these words to the church at Corinth a little later in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. I want to read this to you because it's what we're all about and what we want to be all about. He says, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation." That's our ministry. The ministry of reconciliation, to make Christ known. Now we can't die like Christ did in order to reconcile us to God. You see, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, it was God looking down from heaven, and He looks at the cross and He says, "I'm satisfied. That has met my righteous demands for sin. I'm satisfied with that." And then we, down here on the earth, we look up at the cross and we say, "I'm also satisfied with the cross." And so we are reconciled when we become satisfied with the same thing that God is satisfied with, the cross of Jesus Christ. And so we are reconciled to God. But now, Jesus Christ, He's already died. He's not going to come back and do it again. So He's now given us the ministry of reconciliation. And notice in verse 19, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us, get this, the word of reconciliation. How exciting is that? The word of reconciliation. What does He mean by that? Well, He's given us the ministry of reconciliation, but that really can't take place unless there's a supernatural thing going on. And the only supernatural thing going on happens to be the Word of God working in harmony with the Spirit of God. Now, the Word of God, as it goes forth, that becomes the Word of reconciliation. And the Spirit of God becomes the work of reconciliation that is bringing people to Jesus Christ. And then He goes on to say, now then, we are ambassadors. That's what missions is all about. We are ambassadors as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's the challenge that is before us. And what an incredible challenge that God has given to us. What an opportunity God has given to us. In this hour, in this day, with God's blessing, do you understand that God has not blessed the chapel just to bless the chapel? God has not given us this facility just so that somebody can drive by and say, "That's a big old place." Or somebody can walk in the building and say, "This is a beautiful..." Do you understand that all, while that may be right or that may be okay, that is not why God did it. He did it for one reason. He wants the world around us to know that His blessings are upon this church, and we have been given the Word of God, as the message of reconciliation, the Word of reconciliation. That's a challenge that is before us. But we not only must do it here, we have to do it everywhere. That's the reason He says, you're ambassadors. Now, some of you are going to get to go to the mission field. I hope in a couple, 3 years, Pastor Jerry, that hundreds of people have been to the mission field somewhere. It doesn't have to be foreign. It can be Biloxi. It can be any place beyond Western New York. It can even be Western New York, for that matter. It's missions. You see, we are ambassadors. And the ambassador is basically saying, as he wraps up this statement, he says, "Be ye," this is what we say to the world around us, "be ye reconciled to God." Now, Pastor Jerry and I know that the Word does the work of God. We are just messengers. And we know that because even though He's young and hadn't been in ministry quite as long as I've been in the ministry. What did He say? He hadn't been alive as long as I've been in the ministry. The fact is, though, that both of us know this. We have on occasion, we preached messages that we thought were really hotsy-totsy. You know, really, we thought we really did good. And they really weren't very good as it impacted the lives of people. The only good part about it is we felt good. And then we preached messages that We were a triple threat. We kind of stumbled, fumbled, and fell. You know, it just didn't go over very well. And yet, somebody sends us an email later or talks with us later, and they talk about how that changed their life, and the person next to them got saved in the process. And we just have to kind of grin and say, you know what? We know it's not us. It's the Word of God. Or like last week, kind of an amazing thing to me. Like last week, we talked about money matters. You know, we talked about stewardship. the kind of message that most pastors don't like to preach, and you know, because it usually doesn't go over very good, you know. If people are going to walk out in services, that's the one they walk out in, because, you know, all you ever talk about is just money, money, money. And last week we talked about, almost exclusively, we talked about stewardship. And at the end I gave the invitation, and 12 people received Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Kind of crazy, isn't it? Now, how does that happen? How does that happen? Because we never step into this pulpit. Last week we talked about what the Word said about stewardship. The Word of God is a miraculous book. And as we preach it, regardless of what we're preaching, as long as we're true to it, you know what the Spirit of God does? He takes the Word of God and He begins the reconciling process, because that is the word of reconciliation. And 12 or 13 people last week, while they heard about stewardship, they heard something much more important. They heard God's call to come and be reconciled to God. That's our ministry. That is our mission. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You know, I want to say again, we've talked about missions today. We have talked about reconciliation, certainly. But here's what I know to be true. I know in this room this morning there are those that have been on a journey. I love what a young man told me after the last service. He lifted his hand, prayed to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. He came back to the fireside room and he said, "Pastor Al, I want you to know I prayed that prayer this morning." And I looked at him, I said, "How long has God been tracking you?" And he said, "About 2 years. But today I gave up." Wow. You know, and we talked the very same thing we talked about here. And here's my challenge to you. You're seated in this auditorium and you've heard about missions, and probably there's some sense in which there is a ring of excitement in your heart about it. I don't know, I can't speak for you. But I do know this. That if you are not yet a believer in Jesus Christ, you've been on a journey for a while. You've thought about it. There's no doubt but what you thought about, or you wouldn't be here. You know what God has done this morning? He's taken His Word, and He has reached out with His Word, and by the Spirit of God, He's begun to draw you into that relationship. And if you have never placed your faith and trust in Christ, if that's you, if I just described you, I don't know if God's been tracking you for 2 years or 2 months or 6 months or a decade. But today, you know, somehow you know in your spirit, in your heart, and this is God at work, you know today is the day that you're supposed to give your life to Jesus Christ. If that's true, here's what I want you to do. I want you to say something like this. You might call it a prayer. Just say something like this. You say it in your own heart. I'm going to say it out loud. Something like this. Just say, "God, I've sensed your call upon my life before, but nothing as dramatic and as clear as it is at this moment. And I know deep within my soul that you are doing the work of reconciliation. You're bringing me into vital relationship to yourself through Jesus Christ. God, I've tried some of this before. I've tried a little religion. I've made New Year's resolutions. I've never lasted very well. But today, it's not me making a determination. And I guess that's what's different. Today, it's me surrendering. You just take my life and make it what you want it to be. And by your strength and by your help, by your power, I'll live the best I can. Knowing that my salvation doesn't rest upon my ability, but upon what Jesus Christ did on the cross. God, thank you for creating this moment just for me. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you prayed that prayer with me, while no one's looking around, would you just lift your hand until I see it? Just hold it up until I see it. Would you do that? Just leave it there for a minute. Just lift it up. Hold it there. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. Just leave it there. God bless you, man. Bless your heart. God bless you. Yes. Thank you. May put them down. Father, there isn't any thrill more thrilling than that. To look around this room and see hungry hearts responding to the appeal of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. We thank you for moving so special in the hearts and lives of these, your people today. Bless them with a wonderful, exciting, Christ-centered future. We'll praise you for it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.